Wild salmon saw a major decline throughout the Atlantic region starting in the 1980s, and here in the area known as the Inner Bay of Fundy, the Atlantic salmon population collapsed almost completely. It has been listed as endangered under Canada's Species at Risk Act since 2003. Their numbers dwindled from 40,000 a half century ago to fewer than 250 by the year 2000, according to official figures from the provincial government. But in recent years, the Inner Bay population has rebounded in two rivers in Fundy National Park, namely the Upper Salmon River and the Point Wolf River. Salmon returns in those rivers have reached a 35-year high, and there have also been improvements in the Petit Kodiak. That's according to Fort Folly Habitat Recovery, a group that's at the forefront of efforts to restore the Inner Bay of Fundy population. In the coming months, the group is anticipating that adult salmon will be returning to those three rivers with more salmon in greater numbers in the years to come. Today, National Indigenous Peoples Day, the Habitat Recovery Group is holding a ceremony at Alma Beach in Fundy Park in preparation for the return of the salmon from the marine habitat to the rivers of the Wabanaki Forest. Indigenous elders Betty Ward of Metapanagiag and Joan Milea of Elsipugtug First Nations will bless the water of the Bay of Fundy for the safe passage of the Atlantic salmon, according to an event announcement from Parks Canada. Stay tuned for the schedule at the end of the broadcast. On Tuesday, CHMA visited Fort Folly First Nation to learn more about the efforts to restore the endangered wild salmon of the Inner Fundy.
I'm Tim Robinson. I'm the director of the Salmon Recovery Program here at Fort Folly First Nation. Well, I know that Chief Rebecca speaks of salmon as being, you know, just traditionally, culturally, you know, one of those iconic species that's just, you know, so important to the First Nations peoples across Canada and the non-Indigenous people as well. Like, people want salmon back in their rivers. And, you know, we're determined to do our part in making that happen.
The Fundy salmon recovery model involves collecting wild juvenile Atlantic salmon and rearing them at the Mactaquac Biodiversity Facility near Fredericton. The mature fish are mated according to specific pedigrees to ensure genetic diversity and then released into their home rivers. DFO subjects all fish to a DNA analysis at the Mactaquac facility, which is described as a live gene bank. The Federal Fisheries Department says the gene bank yields about 500,000 eggs annually for the repopulation of Inner Bay of Fundy rivers. Fort Folly Habitat Recovery also worked with the group Petit Kodiak Riverkeeper to lobby successfully for the removal of the river causeway in Moncton, which disrupted salmon populations along that river after it was built in the 1960s. The Habitat Recovery Group has also released more than 1 million unfed fry, that's fish at an early developmental phase, into the Petit Kodiak watershed, along with more than 8,000 mature adults, helping to reestablish the population. And just last week, they released a total of 100,000 Inner Bay of Fundy Atlantic salmon fry into that watershed. Efforts by Fort Folly Habitat Recovery have grown over the years to include a long list of partnerships. The Habitat Recovery Project has also resulted in employment for Indigenous youth trained as river technicians. And Robinson says their methods could be reproduced in other rivers, including ones closer to home, like the Tantramar and the Memram Cook River.
Like, restoring a river or two rivers, like, you know, in a whole region, you know, can't in of its own, like, restore, like, the population of the entire bay, mm-hmm. Inner Bay of Fundy. But what it can do is show itself, like, as a good or a potential recovery tool, you know, that then others can adapt to their water courses, their rivers, their salmon rivers. With the Fundy Salmon Recovery Group, which is like Fort Folly First Nation, Fundy National Park, Cooked Aquaculture, the Atlantic Salmon, Atlantic Canada Fish Farmers Association, the province of New Brunswick, and the University of New Brunswick. We couldn't do it on our own.
As for industry, Robinson noted that Cook Aquaculture is among the partners. That company manages the Wild Salmon Marine Conservation Farm at Dark Harbor, Grand Manan Island. Workers at that facility, which is billed as the first of its kind in the world, grow juvenile salmon in conservation sea pens before mature adults are released to spawn. The CEO of the company, Glenn Cook, has hailed the initiative as an ideal model for action-oriented science-based conservation efforts. But salmon farming companies, including Cook, have also faced criticism from conservationists who say open net pen aquaculture harms wild Atlantic salmon and that open pen nets should be removed from the ocean. Robinson acknowledged that open net pen farming might contribute to the pressures on salmon populations, but he noted that there's no clear indication about what caused the massive collapse of inner bay stocks and said it's more likely to be death by a thousand cuts.
There's certainly no smoking gun or that could be pointed towards the decline of Atlantic salmon in the upper bay. Certainly not, you know, one entity, but more likely a whole series of limiting factors affecting the marine survival of inner bay salmon, such that there just weren't adequate numbers of adults returning back to the natal rivers to spawn the next generation. There was a time not long ago, too, where aquaculture was seen likely to be a savior for wild stocks because it would take fishing pressure off of the wild stocks. I mean, there are most likely a lot of contributing factors, and interactions with farm environments could very well be one of them, but certainly, in my opinion, not the responsible for the decline of the inner bay population. And even especially inaction, you know, the leadership here at Fort Folly says it's just not acceptable. And it's through collaboration that things can get done. So Fort Folly has always been like a small First Nation community that really acts well above its weight class and is interested in, you know, boots on the ground action and taking steps to actually begin to restore the population, whereas the maintenance, you know, has been important, you know, to keep the population from going extinct, like i.e. live gene banking, but it's not acceptable to just live there forever. We have to begin to restore the population, and that's what the leadership here at Fort Folly is like determined to do.
Robinson is not Indigenous, but he's been working for Fort Folly since 1995. The First Nation has been working on the Habitat Restoration Project since the late 90s. Indigenous and non-Indigenous members of the project are very happy with the results, he said.
We're very humbled and very honored to be part of Fort Folly's leading role in stewardship and recovery of, the iconic Inner Bay fine Atlantic salmon.
That was Tim Robinson, director of Fort Folly Habitat Restoration, talking about ongoing efforts to protect and restore the endangered wild salmon of the Inner Bay of Fundy. And today, National Indigenous Peoples Day, listeners are invited to join elders Betty Ward of Metapanagiag and Joan Malaya of Elsipugtug First Nations on Alma Beach as they bless the waters of the Bay of Fundy for the safe passage of Atlantic salmon returning to Fundy National Park rivers. A message from Parks Canada says, "Come celebrate this historic migration as we kick off the summer solstice and National Indigenous Peoples Day and be a part of the Atlantic salmon story of survival." Here's the schedule for the events today. At 6 p.m., the event begins with a bonfire and art on the beach. The blessing ceremony will take place at 6:30 p.m., and then at 7 p.m., the bonfire continues along with the cooking of Luskinigan. That's Mi'kmaq for bannock.